I appreciate very much solid things. I don't like for the ground to move in under me. Me and my son was, last time we was here, was fishing out at Brother Dan Doolittle's pond. And I was standing there and I stood there for a good while, and that Oklahoma mud started sticking, and I didn't notice it, but it was stuck to my boots, and all of a sudden I started trying to lift my boots up, but they wouldn't come out of the mud. And I started sliding towards the pond, and I couldn't get my feet out. And I thought, it was a pretty good ledge right there. But there was a stump stuck up, and I thought I'll stick my foot over on that stump so that I can push myself back. And so I pulled my foot up real quick and put it over there, but that stump wasn't hooked to anything. And it just pushed on, and I landed in the pond. What happened? Or the edge of the pond. I don't like things that aren't solid. I appreciate the fact that Jesus set up something that has endured the centuries. It's as real, it's as valid in 2014 as it was the day the apostles got it. It works just as much today as it worked back then. It's as solid. I appreciate when Brother Humphrey says he was saved in 1961, 53 years. I appreciate solidness. I'm glad to see something that's established. That works. You ever see a sign on the business that said, been in business for a week and a half? Have you ever seen one that said, been in business since 2012? You won't see that because it don't mean anything. But every once in a while, you'll see one that says, established 1911. 1910. What are they trying to say? They're trying to say, we've been here a while and it means something. Our product has been made, bought, used, and we're still here to prove that people, there's something of quality, something of value here. But you know, I want to hold on to Jesus. You know why? Jesus works. It works. I found it to work. I'm glad that I can say I've been saved for a good, it used to be I didn't say much about, I've been saved a year. Well, that's good. But now I can say, been through some things. I got saved when I was 23 years old. And I'm 51 now. I'm getting along with it. And I want to testify, I'm still saved. I'm still saved. Been ups and downs. Haven't done everything as much as I'd like to have done. Been as faithful as I'd like to have been. But I'm still saved. So I appreciate that today. I'd like to look at a scripture in the 6th chapter of John, let's start with 44th verse. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I remember a man telling me one time, he was proving or trying to prove election, predestination, and he used this and said that it's like drawing a bucket of water. And he said, did you ever know a bucket of water to resist? Well, I don't think that's valid, to be honest with you. People is not water. They wasn't created like water. Water has certain principles and it'll always follow it without argument. It'll seek its own level. I can pour this water out of this cup on that and it'll seek its own level and run off. And it'll do it every time. It does what it's supposed to do. It doesn't kick back. That's true. But he wasn't talking about water. He's talking about people. I've also heard it said on the other side, I've heard people say, I'd like to be saved, I need to be saved, I know I'm lost, I need to be saved.
I've heard them say I'm wretched and miserable, and if God would deal with me, I'd get saved. Well, that leaves me scratching my head too. I'm not convinced of that. But what this scripture is saying here, there is something valid to this. He was saying to understand who he's talking to. He's talking to the Pharisees, the religious people of their day. And they're murmuring against this. Jesus is taking a position here that he's the Son of God. They have Moses to look to. But Jesus was coming in and saying, I'm greater than Moses. And they're having an argument and they're murmuring about the fact that Jesus was talking the way they were. And so Jesus says these words to them. Unless my Father draw you, you can't come. You need to be convinced of something. Do you know that unless we're get convinced of something, we're desperately needed. The world needs to be convinced. The Pharisees had a religion and they blocked their minds. They blocked their hearts. What would it take? What would it take for them to be saved? What would it take for them to accept Christ into their life? How are you going to do it by yourself? If you believe something, you believe it. What's it going to take to convince you of something different? I look at that and say, Lord, if I'm wrong, and I'm convinced I'm right, but I'm wrong, what chance do I have? I have a chance. I have a chance that the Lord will draw me. Not like drawing water, because he didn't create us water. He created us a thinking, choosing, a being with a will. And so he's got to draw different. So I'm going to ask this question to you to think about. How would you be moved to anything? How can I get you up here? Well, a sister just had a plea. And plead to some folks for help, and that moved some of you, but it didn't move me. Well, I'll tell you why it didn't move me. I was sitting there thinking, if all I got to do to qualify to get up there to sing is to be out of my comfort zone, I qualify too. But she said, anybody that knows the song and can sing it and can help me out. I couldn't help you out, sister. I'd have been out of my comfort zone for sure. But the rest of it, I didn't know. It didn't move me to do it. But what would it take to move or to draw, to make you move towards something? God isn't going, this doesn't mean that he gets a hold of you and pulls you against your will to move. It means that there is an inspiration or a move of God that can move somebody towards something. You can move. I can put some corn out up at home, and I can draw the crows in because they like corn. They'll fight the danger a lot of times of what they've got to face to get there, to get to that corn. That's a draw. The God wants to draw. I believe God is still drawing. I believe he's still working. What is he trying to convince us of? Do you know he's trying to convince the world that you're a sinner? He forever tries to convince that you're in sin. You're in sin, world. You need to be saved. You're going the wrong way. If you go the wrong way, he's ever convincing. Look, turn around and look, see. Can't you see? If you want to look at this in one sense, look at John 3. Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man just like they are. If one man can do it, all men can do it. Nicodemus had something honest in his heart. That's the only thing they lacked. They didn't lack the God's care for him. They didn't lack God's drawing or his witness to the world. He was witnessing to the world. He was healing the sick. He was blessing he was casting out devils. He was doing the works of God. And yet they would not be drawn. But Nicodemus was pulled. I don't know how much he grabbed a hold of something and resisted. There was times he must have shook his head and said, I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to go. I know that's the way I was before I got saved. Nicodemus might have done it too. He might have shook his head and put his hands over his ears and said, quit that, quit that. But eventually, Yeah, you didn't have the nerve. You didn't have the nerve to do it in the daytime either. But he made his way. He was being drawn. He was being drawn of God. Nicodemus come to the Lord and said, Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art from God. Because no man can do these miracles. And they should be of God. Why didn't they all see it? Why didn't no man understand that? He laid it out for everybody. The pool was there for everybody. But he wouldn't, the rest of them wouldn't do it. But Nicodemus did. I think Nicodemus struggled in his life from the position that he had. I understand he was a man high up in the religion. Very wealthy man. He had some things to live up to. He had some responsibilities among the people. But yet there was something that drew him. I think he started realizing that if this man can do these miracles, he's of God. And the things that he is speaking that I ain't right in my soul. If I don't get right in my soul, something's wrong here. I need to find out what it is. I need something more than I've got now. You know, I believe that no matter where you are in life, I believe this process doesn't end because you get saved. I think the Lord still, he always draws. I know the Lord's draws on me. Come closer. Come closer. Come closer. Hear more. Understand more. Well, this is my little crude illustration of this passage. I was fishing the other day, and for anybody that don't know what I was doing, it's a jig. It was a 3-inch rubber jig on a spinner blade. And I cast it out, and I got a hit. And I could tell it wasn't a very big fish. But I was reeling it in, and as I got it closer, I looked, and that fish did not have the hook part of it. It was a little old bass that had the end of its tail. And he was determined he was not going to let it go. I didn't have him hooked. If you're expecting God to put a hook in you, you're mistaken. God is not going to hook you and draw you, you kicking and squirming trying to get loose. That's the way most fish happen for me. Not this one. This fish was determined to get that bait. He wanted it so bad, he would not let loose of it. And I reeled him right up close. I just about had him in before he realized he was coming out of the water. And it let loose and swam away. But that's the one, I got that in my mind. You know, the Lord wants us to get our teeth into this thing. The Lord will continue to crank. The Lord's going to bring us all the way in. But he ain't going to hook you. At any point in time, you can let go. But he's trying to convince us by his persuasion that God, I remember when I got saved. I don't remember just having a terrible dread of hell. But I had a terrible dread of life that I was living. My life was miserable, and I was shaking my head saying, I mean, I was a young man, 23 years old, and saying, this, there's got to be more. If I'm in the prime of my life, and this is the prime, and it's going to go downhill from here, Sister Mary, this is bad news, because it isn't going anywhere. I don't have anything. I'm not at peace. I don't have any satisfaction. Life is miserable and I don't like living this way. There's got to be something else. And do you know there was one that cast out something to me? He cast out the possibility, the potential. He cast out the idea that life can be meaningful. You can have joy in your heart. You can know who you are and where you're going. And he cast that out to me. He convinced me, sin's what's your problem. Sin's taking you away. He convinced me you're your own problem. Wait, it's everybody else. It's life. It's the circumstances. No, the Lord come and said, Marty, you're your problem. You need to change that. It needs to be changed. You know why I come to the Lord? Yeah, I didn't want to go to hell. I honor that. You know what I wanted? I wanted God. That's what I can remember from being a little boy, being fascinated with the idea of God. God, who is he? God. And I wanted to know God. And so the Lord knows today. He knows what to cast out to each and every one of us. He wants to convince each and every one of us. Now, I'm thinking about Brother Jim White, an old brother in our congregation, passed away a few years ago. He was one of those guys that just was a witness. Wherever you met him, wherever you saw him, there was something about him. People come to him. People talk to him. He talked to people. I appreciated him very much because he was faithful. He was solid. He showed God through his actions and his faithfulness to it. I'm going to tell you, Brother Jim, I feel like was one that got his teeth in it. And he wouldn't let go. Nothing had shaken him. He got a hold of it. I remember one day in service, it was Wednesday night service, and we was there, and service started, and Brother Jim didn't show up, and everybody was looking kind of around, kind of strange. And somebody says, I think I asked a few, where's Brother Jim? You talked to Brother Jim? Another, no, we didn't talk to Brother Jim. And we started getting worried because Brother Jim wasn't in service. Does anybody worry about you when you're not in service? You know why we worried about Brother Jim? He was always in service. I mean, we knew, brother, something must have happened because he's not in service. I hope that's the reputation that we're building. But well, he ain't in service, something must be going on. Let's pray for him. We started getting like that about Brother Jim while he was getting older. Well, before service ended, right before it ended, he come through the door and come in and made an apology. He said, I forgot it was Wednesday night. Well, he was getting old and things happened. But Brother Jim had his teeth in it, is what I'm trying to say. And because he did, he made a difference to the people that was around him. God was still pulling on him, but it wasn't hooked in. Brother Jim could have quit like any man has. But he got his teeth into it, and it meant more to him than anything else in the world could mean. This was important. Folks, this is important to me today. I want to hold of this thing. I can see in my mind just like that little fish, if I can use that illustration. Hey, I was a pulling him in. And he was fighting to get away, but he wasn't going to go without that he cherished the most. He cherished that, and he was trying to get away, sure enough, but he was going to take that with him. And in the process of getting him in, I was running him through some mud. And the mud was stirring up, and he was still holding on. And then there was some green algae-type growth that was hanging to the sides, and he was still hanging on. Folks, there's things in life. There will be things in life. If we're going to live this thing, you're going to have to be determined. I'm going to get a hold of it, and I'm going to go through whatever it takes. I'm going to go through the mud. I'm going to go through the muck. I'm going to go through the growth. I'm going to go through the cattails. I'm going to go through the scratches. I'm going to go through whatever it takes that I might be able to be successful in this. That's what the Lord's drawing us for. He's pulling us through, but he's trying to take us all to heaven. He wants to get all of us to heaven. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me. Drawing, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be all taught of God. Taught of God? This is an answer to that scripture. It is written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Well, what's he teaching? I mean, he says right here it is. Everyone that's taught of Father, is God not still teaching? I want to submit this today that God is still God. He is still working in this world. It isn't God's fault if you don't get there. It wasn't that fault. Nicodemus done it, and they could have done it too. God's still teaching. Do you know what he's teaching? He's teaching that sin is corruption. He's teaching that men are all sinners. He's teaching that every man needs God. Do you know that the basis of all this is that we got to learn how much we need God? When the sinner realizes how much he needs God, he is one step away from salvation. We need God. Brother Jim told us he come out of the war, a very bitter man, hard man, seen his buddies blown up beside him, steeled himself against death and hardness, come home and told me, he said he looked at his daughter that he hadn't even seen and his wife that he hadn't been with for years and had no human affection toward him whatsoever. He had steeled himself against all motions that would destroy him in war, and he had to pack him home with him. He said he was a lot more comfortable being across at the bar with the men than he was with his family, because they had an understanding over there of hardness and those kind of things. How can you save a man like that? You draw him. You draw him. He started teaching Brother Jim, and Brother Jim's eyes started being open, and he said, I seen myself as the most vile sinner that ever walked the earth. When the Lord started getting through with him, he saw himself for what he was. And he saw God for what he was. And he had come to the realization, I need God. I need God. You need God. You need God today. You may say, well, I've been saved for a lot of years. It don't make no difference. You still need God. You still need to be proved that you need God. Do you know we can get into a place that we won some battles and got into a place that we can feel sufficient on ourselves? And it takes the Lord to help us to understand. You know what the Lord will do? He'll teach every man. He'll teach every man that'll listen. He'll teach us. He'll draw us into a place to himself. He'll draw us to it. And he'll teach us. And what he'll teach us is what the bottom line of every trial that we go through is to tell us how much we need God. You need God. Oh, we prayed and the Lord come down and blessed us real good, and that happens for a few times, and the Lord's good to him. We all testify, and just now we get into a battle and we're ready for the deliverance, and we get down and pray and it don't come. And the pain gets harder, and we pray more and the pain's still there. And I know what you want me to say. You want me to say that the Lord blesses and it's all gone. But ain't the way it always works. God will convince you. When he needs to convince you, he'll draw. I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to be like that little fish. Or I got a dog. He's a good lesson too. My little dog likes squirrel hides. And I'll get this squirrel hide and I can get it out there. Well, I'll clarify. It's his dog. If I say it's my dog, it doesn't sound right. You know, I say, go feed your dog, Dries. It's his dog. He's the one that feeds it. But that little dog, I can get that, and that dog will jump and get that. That's, he really wants that squirrel hide. And when he gets a hold of it, he'll lock his jaws and I'll swing him around and around. He'll come off the ground. I'll just around the ground like a merry-go-round. He'll go around and around and he won't unlock his jaws hardly for anything. It's got the rip out of his mouth. He wants it so much. He will not let loose of that thing. It's got to be ripped out of there. Folks, the Lord wants us to get such a hold of this thing. He wants us to say, Lord, live, die, whatever comes between. I'm serving God. I'm doing it with all my heart, and I'm going to go on. I'm going to hang on. Lord, I might be humbled. I might be lifted up. I might be exalted. I might be cast down. But I'm living for God all the way. I'm not going to let go. I'll go through the mud and the briars and the brush, pulled along, scraped along, battered along, talked about, put down, run down. But I still got my teeth in this thing. Still got my teeth in. I'm aiming with all my heart to go on. You know what that's the Lord drawing? Oh, he's pulling. He's taking us where we need to go. We've got a duty. Hang on. Hang on. But I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes in my experience, I'm going to play this analogy out very far. I think sometimes there's been times where I slipped and didn't have the power and let loose. And you know, in the mercy, he flips it out there again. Here's you another time. Grab hold again. Sister Mary sang a song for us. I appreciate when the Lord does this for me. I feel like the Lord was kind of tugging at my heart. But when Sister Mary got up and said, you're going to hold on to Jesus, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for that confirmation that you get at Sister McDonald, because that's what I want to talk about. I want to hold on to Jesus. Jesus is going to do everything he can. He'll cast out again and again. He'll give us another opportunity and opportunity. This scripture says to these old Pharisees, it is written in the prophets, what are you going to do, Pharisees? What are you going to do? How are you going to be saved? You're in a situation. God wants you to be saved. God wants you to understand the blessings of the gospel. But how are you going to do it if you resist this? God wants to teach you. Every man. Are you willing today to be drawn? I mean, I know that sounds funny. Drawn? Yeah, you can resist the drawing. But you can't get to the Lord unless you understand some things that the Lord has to draw you to that you can't do yourself. You can't know who you are today. Well, I've been saved for 8 years. So, you still need to know who you are. You still need to know your deficiencies. You still want to know in places where God has something for you and your humanity, your flesh, you didn't want to pick it up, so you didn't, you justified it. Don't tell me it don't happen. It happens all the time. And the Lord's saying, I want to teach you. Always want to teach you of yourself. That's what he wanted to do here. He wanted to teach these. You want to really know what it's about? The thing that you grabbed a hold of, the law, at its place and time. You haven't been faithful to it up to this time. It was the only thing you had to go by, wasn't it? What else did they have to go by? Understanding more spiritual things and understanding that there was something better coming. But the law was the schoolmaster for that. So it was saying, Lord, yes, we've done it to this point. Like old Nicodemus, he couldn't go against something that was working down in his heart. There was a tug down there, a pull. He couldn't, if he was going to be honest with himself, folks, he could not deny that. Something that was fundamental inside him. Something inside him told him that it was right. I believe today that everyone in here that's less than what they ought to be, down in their heart knows it. You know it. You know it. If you'll be honest with it and face it straight up, you'll know. Yes, I'm not. I don't come up to what the Lord really wants me to be. I'm not really as faithful as that. I don't really have my teeth into it. There's times that I want many other things than what the Lord's bringing. There's times that I give up on things of the Lord. There's times of that. You know that. If you'll be honest, you know that. But the Lord wants the ultimate opportunity. God has to make us feel. It's the only motivation that we've got. He's got to make us feel the need of God. You've got to come to the place, I've got to come to the place that I feel the need of God. I want to tie that with the scripture. I believe it's in the 11th of Matthew. Oh, see, I'll go about 16. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you. Music. You know, music is a powerful force, is it not? I think everybody in here has a very keen awareness of what music can do. You can put kind of an uplifting, a peppy tune, and you're driving along. If you're not careful, a peppy tune can make you speed. It'll get lively. Do you know, I've noticed this with my children, before they're old enough to have been influenced by any influence, they'll bounce to music. They'll start moving. Music. You notice that? They'll do that. There is something that makes people move. If there's something in it. You can do a lot of things. I know there are certain tunes that, and I'm not being critical here. I'm just saying that there's tunes designed for different things. God knows that. It's why that there are certain tunes, our altar song has certain tunes with it. There are certain ones, because the feel, the way we feel about this is all captured in that. And you can have music. There's some music that I really don't like because it makes me feel depressed. There's depressing music. It's melancholy. You ever heard that? It's just so much of that. That's enough. But the point is that there's great influence in music. One of the most influencing things in the world. It's why there's so much of it. It's music. This is what this is talking about, I think. In a sense, as we piped unto you. Now, consider this. When's the best time? When are you going to feel like dancing the most? When there's music that moves you to it. That's what we're talking about. We piped. You don't have no... I ain't promoting dancing. The scripture is talking about being influenced by the drawing of God. We piped. And the best opportunity that you'll ever have to dance is when the music's going. And if you reject dancing when the music's going, when will you ever feel like dancing? All of a sudden you're going to say, I'm going to dance, and there's no music to inspire you to move. The idea here is probably that if you're not going to dance to the music, you're not going to dance. God's drawing you, and talking to the Pharisees, God's drawing you. God's with you. God's working. God's motion. That's why we've said over and over, we said when a good message comes and stirs your heart, dance. Dance. Get them. You go away if you're not careful and not feel it, and you've got to feel the need of God. You've got to feel it. Hopefully you'll feel it much and God will continue to work. But the best time to dance is when the music's playing. You feel like moving. You can sway to it. It's got a beat and a rhythm to time yourself with. It's all there. If you don't dance at that time, you'll lose the idea of dancing and you may never dance. This is talking, of course, about living for God. Ultimate opportunity. It's when God's working with your heart, drawing you, and you understand, and you see. You know, many, many people have come to those places and resisted to the point that it got less and less and less, and in their old age, they don't want to dance. They don't want to come to the Lord. They don't want it anymore. Maybe some intellectual knowledge, but never a feeling. We have mourned unto you. You have not lamented. Now, this is really not this type of message, but I can testify to you that I've had messages before that the Lord would give me something in it that would be emotional. Very emotional. And as I'm ministering, I get emotional and tears will start flowing. And when I do, a lot of you do too. You do. What's more touching? What's more potential to get you to weep than somebody else crying and weeping? It's contagious. You see, and people are crying. It's hard not to cry when there's something comes out. And he said, we wanted you to lament. And so we mourn for you. Give you the ultimate opportunity to feel the sorrow, to feel it. Because it's what's going to move you to it. But right there with the ultimate opportunity, people will say, I will mourn at my own time. And you didn't mourn when the crowd mourned. You didn't mourn when the Spirit mourned. You didn't weep, lament when the motion was there. And you suppose that one of these days I'm going to mourn. It's not very likely. It's not very likely. Lord, help us to have a desire. Lord, I want to get my teeth in this. I want to get my teeth enough into it because I'm very aware of a fact. All that I've done in the past has already been done. For whatever it was worth, it's been done. If I lose out between here and the end of the time, I'm lost. I can't afford to be lost. So I'm going to get my teeth in this and stick to whatever is life ahead of me. You too, whatever is life, going to be life ahead of you, to be able to take those times where the Lord deals and the Lord works and gives the opportunity to get a deeper bite on it, get a stronger emotion, a stronger devotion, a stronger passion, a stronger resolution that no matter what happens, this is what I want. I want God. I want salvation. I want it more than the things of this world. When I got my teeth set in it, and the old neighbor comes over and starts about the property lines, or he starts coming about the things that's happening, I got a hold of this. I got a hold of it. I can go right on through whatever bumps and bruises I'm going to have to go with them. I'm going to keep my teeth in there because that's more valuable than my land. It's more valuable than my car. It's more valuable than the things around me. It's more valuable than ambitions and desires I got. It's more value. Got my teeth stuck into it. I'm not letting loose. I think God desires His people to be that determined. I read that. Well, let's just read a little bit of Acts 11. Acts 11, oh, let's see, no, I'm in 12, 11 and 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. Now that word particularly, I think, means to be cemented or glued to the Lord. Glued on Him. I got the Lord. And I got Him good. I got Him good and strong. I'm going to hang on to the Lord with all my heart. I think of the Apostle Paul. I think the brother got his teeth into something one day. I think that the Lord drew him by His love to him, a calling to him. You remember the apostle's experience? He was on the road to Damascus. By his own testimony, he was ignorant. Supposing he was doing the will of God, he loved the Lord, but he was misguided about it. And he was on the road to Damascus, and the Lord met him on that road. And he saw a great light. You remember the story of Paul and how the Lord come and done that and for him. Did he have to follow that? That's a pretty big miracle. The Red Sea splits for some folks one time and they didn't follow. No, Paul didn't have to. But he got his teeth into something. He got something from God, directly from God. I'm going to tell you today, second-handed experiences never go very far. You'll let loose of second-handed experience. Just because some other brother had an experience with God won't hold you. It's got the taste of the Lord and see that He's good. God, I'll tell you, I'm not going to let go because it tastes good. It's what I want. It's what I've always desired. It's worth everything to me. And I think Apostle Paul got an experience more than he had ever had. It was always books. It was always understandings. It was always talk and chatter, probably. It was always conveying human thoughts and all that. He met the Lord Jesus. And it done something in his heart that nothing else would ever do. It gave him something to die for. You can kill somebody for it, but he wasn't willing to kill now. He's willing to die himself. Got something that's so meaningful. So meaningful. Shipwrecks didn't deter him. Beatings didn't discourage the man. He wouldn't let loose. Going into jail and put him in jail and give him a whipping, that didn't deter him. What would it take to get this man loose? The devil tried everything and the Lord gave it leave. All things. He said he fought with beasts at Ephesus. He was false prophets. He was discouragements. There was all this stuff around him. He still didn't let go. He threw him in prison. That ought to do it. They still didn't let go. He had a hold of it. They just kept on going and going and going. He submitted himself unto the Lord. I mean to go through. I mean to see the end of this thing. I'm not going to let loose. I'm not going to let down. I'm going to see it all the way through. And God will give grace all the way. For what He draws for, there is grace to give in every account of it. Oh, that we would submit ourselves unto the Lord. And we would cleave unto Him. Cleave unto Him. Hang on to Him. Not let go. Make us the purpose and passion of our life. Now the old devil comes, especially to our young people, and they want to give a comparison. You all forgive me. I've used this many times, but I think of the children of Israel. Children of Israel came out of Egypt by a mighty hand. Now, who could deny it? Well, they had been praying. I mean, for 400 years they had cried, and the Lord heard their cry, brought them out of there, took them over there. They were supposed to go to Canaan. They're supposed to go to Canaan. They got sidetracked, deterred by no faith. God did not do that. It was them. God was drawing them to Canaan by faith. Wanted them to have faith. He showed them what he could do. And yet, with all that he showed them that he could do, they didn't have a personal one. Well, they didn't even have a good general sense of it. But they got out there in the wilderness and began to eat manna. And they started complaining. Boy, how long are we going to eat this stuff? And they started remembering. Now, I like food. And you do too. For the most part. Yes, the different flavors. God made it for us. It's good. It's wonderful. They was eating manna. And they started remembering the spices. Garlics, leeks, melons. And we're eating this stuff. And they started comparing manna, wilderness experience with Egypt. And I'm going to tell you today, if that's what you're doing, the world will end up winning. It's not the right comparison. The world's got its shine. Well, it's kind of, yeah, I go to church and it's kind of dull. Okay. Now I can relate with that. I went to service one time and I wasn't in a very good place. And so the preacher gets up and preaches and I'm there shaking my head to have to endure this. Just said, it's as dry as toast. Drier than toast. You'd have to add water to make it that dry. It was dry. And when the preacher got sat down, Brother Jim got up and said, I thank God for this good message. And I was shocked. And he started telling what was in that. And in my heart, I was sitting there arguing with him. He did not say that. He did not say that. And you know what I found out? It was me that was dry. I had wrong comparison. The wrong comparison. And if that's the experience, Brother Ed was talking last night about playing a little football or going to, it always sounds better than set and be dry. Give me something. Give me something. Folks, it's that way today. It can't give you something. Get involved. Get involved. Have something. Get your teeth in it. Tell it about the Lord. Sing about the Lord. Enjoy it. Live it. That's what compares. I want to tell you what they was meant to compare. Canaan with Egypt. Canaan with Egypt. Not the wilderness. Canaan. A land of freedom. Of owning things. Of having things. Grapes on staffs. Pods of pomegranates. All of these. Milk and honey flowing. You want to compare it? Compare it right. Saved and sanctified. Enjoying your salvation. Listen, I've done this for years. If you want to take just my word for it, the world has never come up to this. Never close. Jesus outshines everything I ever done in the world. They're in the roller coaster ride ball game. They're in the fishing trip. They're in anything that ever outshines God in my heart. But it's only when you cleave. It's only when you cleave. This is what I want. I want God's blessings in my life more than I want the things of this world. I want the things of God. I want God's approval. I want God's blessings. I want His smile on my life. I want to be able to contact Him when I need Him. I want Him to be close to me and dear to me. I want the real things. Oh, folks, I look at this world. Let me tell you something. Oh, that I can speak to the whole world. We weren't created brute beast. We were created in the image of God. We can transcend the lifestyles of this world. That's what the argument is when they start arguing about alternative lifestyle. And is it this or is it that? It doesn't matter to me because we were made to transcend it all. To say you was born some way or had to do something. No, you don't. You were created to embody the Holy Spirit. You were created to be a person, a creation of integrity and honor that looks above all these things. You don't have to murder, kill, steal. You don't have to live alternatively. Because we can transcend all of that through the great gospel of God that He brought to us. That's the reality of it. And yet, so many come so short because they will not cleave unto the Lord with all their heart. You know, really, the only thing that I have in this whole thing to really do is to choose it. I can't make it happen. I can't change my position. I can't change my own life. I've tried, but I've been a failure at doing it. I can't even see myself without the Lord. The only thing I can really offer the Lord is, Lord, I want you with all my heart. I want to see what the end of a Christian life really is. I want to see what it is. I want to cleave. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like I just barely got just a little, maybe one tooth in the back of that. I'll just tell you, I've lived for the Lord a while, and there's been a lot of things that challenged me and all. The Lord helped me to get a good bite on it. A good hold. Why? Well, some of you probably prayed for Sister Shana for a while. She went through quite a gallbladder time. And my wife and I had the opportunity to go down and be with them and pray for some times. And when I got down and prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and she still was in pain, I felt pretty little. And I felt an extreme need. Lord, if you don't help us, we ain't got any help. Lord, if you don't do something for your children here, we ain't nothing we can do. Amen. I felt a deep need sweep over me. Lord, help me to be the one that can open up heaven. I want to be able to have my prayers answered, not because I want to be something, because I'm desperate for God. Yes. We're desperate for God. What do we offer? What do we offer? An altar of deliverance? Do we still offer it? Do we still offer it? Only if we cleave. We have no ability. Preacher, come pray with me. Well, what can I do to set you free from your habits, from your addictions? What can I do? But cleave to the Lord. He's brought you here. He's aiming to take you on, brother. Get a bite. I've always heard that any minister worth his salt can only point somebody to Christ. And in my ministry, that's all I've ever endeavored to do. You don't need to look at Marty. Marty will fail you everywhere. But I'm going to tell you, get a bite of Jesus. Get a hold of him with all your heart. He'll take you through your problems. I'm convinced God never failed on a trusting soul. Has he ever failed? No, and he won't fail you either. Get a good hold on him and he'll take you through every trial and circumstance of life with victory. Total victory. Well, in conclusion for my life, I'm desperate. I really need the Lord today. And you say, well, Brother Marty's making a cliche. No, he ain't. I'll be lost without him. I got the days I got ahead of me, I need the Lord. I need him to inspire me. I'm challenged with things in this world. I need the Lord's inspiration. I need the Lord's faithfulness to me. I need it. I need him. I need him all the way. And I feel it desperately today. And I hope the Lord will make you feel that way too. Because it's the only thing that works. God will work to this end. When you feel that pulling and that urging to the Lord, realize this. It's the only thing that can get you there. Nothing else can. Amen. Amen.